The next major playwright of modern age is G.B. Shaw, George Bernard Shaw, 1856 to 1915. He was born in Dublin, Ireland. Later, he relocated to London with his mother. His mother was a music teacher, which becomes a great influence in the life of G.B. Shaw. From an early age, Shaw identified himself as a socialist and joined the Fabian Society. Fabian Society was a non-revolutionary Marxist group advocating for a kind of social reform that would result in socialism without bloodshed. Shaw was a vegetarian and a teetotaler, and he was well known for his large ego. In 1925, he was awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature. G.B. Shaw has given the philosophy of life force, that is, intelligent people should breed to bring intelligent offsprings. He worked as a film and music critic for several magazines and newspapers, including the Saturday Review, Dramatic Review, and so on. All his experiences as a film and music critic helped him to understand the literary need of British people. Compared to the light Victorian comedies which were the fashion, Shaw's plays were revolutionary in their seriousness and socialist themes. G.B. Shaw was greatly influenced by Henrik Ibsen, Shakespeare, and Anton Chekhov. Now let's move on to the important works of G.B. Shaw. G.B. Shaw has written lot of plays, and from exam point of view, almost all the titles are important. I have tried my best to give a short summary of all these plays. So students, as you listen, please take notes of this audio lecture. In his early days, he wrote three unpleasant plays. First one is Widower's Houses, 1892. Second one, The Philanderer, 1893. Third one is Mrs. Warren's Profession, 1893. All the three plays were named as or termed as unpleasant plays because they used dramatic power which forced the spectator to face unpleasant facts, and therefore these unpleasant plays were not successful. Later Shaw moved on to plays which are termed as pleasant plays. The first one is The Arms and the Man, staged in the year 1894. Arms and the Man was Shaw's first commercial success. And let's move on to the summary of this play. The title Arms and the Man comes from the opening words of Virgil's Aeneid, "Of arms and the man I sing, of arms and the man I sing." Arms and the Man is a humorous play that shows the futility of war and deals comedically with the hypocrisies of human nature. Set in the aftermath of the Serbo-Bulgarian War of 1885, Arms and the Man challenges romantic ideas about war and love. The story starts with Captain Bluntschli. He is a place hero and a Swiss mercenary who fought for the Serbs. He is neither disillusioned with war nor does he romanticize it, but he is definitely a realist and consider himself a professional soldier. He is a fleeing soldier, climbs through a Bulgarian lady's bedroom window. The Bulgarian lady name is Lady Raina. Raina and her fiancé Sergius innocently view war and life as little more than a stage on which to make grand romantic gestures. That is, Raina dreamt about the war, soldiers and the war teams like, and she was very much interested to get married to Sergius because he is taking part in this, in the Serbo-Bulgarian war. By the end of the play, Raina is engaged to the pragmatic Bluntschli and Sergius to Raina's servant, the beautiful and grounded Luca. The main reason behind the switch is Raina, who actually romanticized war, now understood practically what is war and what all the results of war, and now she got attracted to the practically professional soldier Bluntschli rather than to her fiancé Sergius. Sergius got attracted to Luca because she got a good presence of mind when compared to Raina. George Bernard Shaw wrote the play primarily as a vehicle to promote realism and disabuses audiences of the romantic notions of heroism, warfare, and marriage. The next important play is The Man of Destiny, 1897, set in Italy during the early career of Napoleon. Napoleon Bonaparte was a great warrior, but this person was also managed intelligently by a strange lady. That's a plot of Man of Destiny. The next play is You Never Can Tell, 1897. It tells the story of Mrs. Clandon and her three children, Dolly, Philip, and Gloria. This family has just returned to England after an 18-year stay in Portugal. The children have no idea who their father is and end up inviting him to a family lunch. The play continues with a comedy of errors. There is a wise waiter, Walter, often repeatedly used the phrase, "You never can tell." The next play is Three Plays for Puritans. It's a collection of plays by G.B. Shaw, published in 1901. It consists of three plays. The first one, The Devil's Disciple, 1897. Second one, Caesar and Cleopatra, 1898. And the third one, Captain Brassbound's Conversion, 1900. The work has got a long preface by Shaw in three parts, in which he expounds many of his thoughts on drama. First one, The Devil's Disciple. It is set in colonial America during the American War of Independence. The play tells the story of Richard Dungeon, a local outcast and a self-proclaimed devil's disciple. He sacrifices himself like a Christ-like gesture. The next play is Caesar and Cleopatra, which was written in 1898. It depicts a fictionalized account of the relationship between Julius Caesar and Cleopatra. Shaw wanted to prove that it was not love but politics that draw Cleopatra to Julius Caesar. He sees the Roman occupation of ancient Egypt as similar to the British occupation that was occurring during his time. The next play is Captain Brassbound's Conversion. The play explores the relationship between the law, justice, revenge, and forgiveness. The next full-length play is Man and Superman, 1902 to 1903. It's a four-act drama. Unlike the past, in this play, the man is hunted by a very relentless woman, Anne Whitefield. Anne Whitefield is one of the major characters. The other two characters are John Tanner and Roebuck Ramsden. John Tanner is a progressive thinker. Anne's father has recently died, and his will indicates that his daughter Anne should be left in the care of two men, Roebuck Ramsden and John Tanner. Ramsden, a conventional person who is completely opposite of Tanner, but Anne likes John Tanner. The main theme of this story is in Act 3. In Act 3, John Tanner flees to Europe, kidnapped by pirates and falls asleep. He becomes Don Juan and he was sent to hell. In the underworld, Don Juan has a discussion with his beloved Anne Whitefield and a statue. Here the statue represents Roebuck Ramsden and the devil. They talk about the universal questions relating to men, women, love and marriage. Through the dream, the playwright put forward his view on existence and evolution using such ideas as that of a life force and a Nietzschean vision of Superman. At the end of the act, Tanner wakes up to find that Anne has found and rescued him. The next play is Major Barbara, 1905. It's a three-act play. The story concerns an idealistic young woman, Barbara Undershaft. She works in the Salvation Army, helping the poor. For many years, Barbara and her siblings have been estranged from their father, Andrew Undershaft. Now, Andrew Undershaft, the father, reappears as a rich and successful munitions, which means he became a successful weapon seller. The father gives money to the Salvation Army, which offends Major Barbara, who does not want to be connected to his tainted wealth, because Major Barbara is involved in helping the poor who became orphaned because of the war. However, the father argues that poverty is a worse problem than munitions and claims that he is doing more to help society by giving his workers jobs and a steady income than Major Barbara is doing to help them by giving them bread and soap. The next play is The Dark Lady of the Sonnets. is a 1910 short comedy in which William Shakespeare, intending to meet the Dark Lady, he accidentally encounters Queen Elizabeth I and attempts to persuade her to create a national theatre. The play was written as a part of a campaign to create a Shakespeare's National Theatre by 1916. The next popular play of G.B. Shaw is Pygmalion, 1912 to 1913. The musical adaptation name of Pygmalion is My Fair Lady. The title refers to Greek mythology story where Pygmalion, who is a sculptor, fell in love with one of his sculptures. There are in two important characters. The plot starts with the two important characters, Professor Higgins, who is a scientist of phonetics, and Colonel Pickering. He is a linguist of Indian dialects. Both Professor Higgins and Colonel Pickering, they met at Covent Garden, and Professor Higgins bets Colonel Pickering that he can, with his knowledge of phonetics, can transform the Cockney-speaking flower girl Eliza Doolittle into a woman as gentle and well-spoken as a duchess. Higgins trains Eliza to speak properly. The two trials for Eliza follow. The first occurs at Higgins' mother's home, where Eliza is introduced to a high society family. But Eliza slips in her talk for a while, and that was considered as a flop. A second trial, which takes place some months later at an ambassador's party, it was a resounding success, where Eliza Doolittle behaves like a duchess. And Professor Higgins now very much impressed with the performance of Eliza. Higgins and Pickering now got bored with the project, and this causes Eliza to be hurt. She proposed Higgins, but he denied. Angry Eliza left home. The following morning, Higgins rushes to his mother in a panic because Eliza has run away. Mrs. Higgins, who has been hiding Eliza upstairs all along, chides the two of them for playing with the girl's affections. When she enters, Eliza thanks Pickering for always treating her like a lady, but threatens Higgins that she will go with his rival phonetician Nepo Muck, N-E-P-O-M-M-U-C-K. The outraged Higgins cannot help but start to admire Eliza Doolittle. The next play is Heartbreak House, a Fantasia in the Russian Manner on English themes, 1919. The Russian manner of the subtitle refers to the style of Anton Chekhov in his play Cherry Orchard, and Shaw adopts the same. Shaw exposed in a country house setting on the eve of the year the spiritual bankruptcy of the generation responsible for the war's bloodshed. The next play is Back to Methuselah, 1922. Methuselah is the oldest biblical figure. Shaw expounded his philosophy of creative evolution. The play is an extended dramatic parable that progresses through time from the Garden of Eden to 31,920 CE. That is, the play covers more than 35,000 years. In this play, Shaw attacked the concept of Darwinism. The next famous play is St. John. St. John, 1923. It was a only tragedy written by Shaw, and it is stated as tragedy without villains. The plot deals with canonization of Joan of Arc in 1920. Joan of Arc as a superior being crushed between those mighty forces, the church and the law, and she is the personification of the tragic heroine. Acclaim for St. John led to the awarding of 1925 Nobel Prize for Literature to Shaw. St. John described as, she is inspired but diabolically inspired. The next play is The Apple Cart, subtitle A Political Extravaganza, 1928. It is a satirical comedy about several political philosophies, and the plot follows the clash between fictional English King Magnus and the Prime Minister Proteus and his cabinet. Prime Minister Proteus and his cabinet seek to strip the monarchy of its remaining political influence, and that's the plot of this play. The next play is Cymbeline Refinished, 1937. It's a fragment play by G.B. Shaw in which he writes a new final act to Shakespeare's play Cymbeline. The drama follows from Shaw's long-standing need to reimagine Shakespeare's work. The ending of Cymbeline was modified by Shaw. Shaw also makes Imogen a much more assertive figure in line with his feminist views. That is, feminist views of Shaw was reflected in the character of Imogen, which was a character created by Shakespeare. The next play is Shakes vs. Shaw, 1949. It's a puppet play written by G.B. Shaw. It was Shaw's last completed dramatic work. The play runs for 10 minutes and comprises a comic argument between Shaw and Shakespeare and the two playwrights bickering about who is the better writer. The last play of G.B. Shaw is Beyond Billions, 1948. BUOYANT. Beyond Billions, BILLIONS. Written at the age of 92, and it was his last full-length play. The subtitle of this play is A Comedy of No Manners. The play is about a brash young man courting the daughter of an elderly billionaire who is pondering how to dispose of his wealth after his death, a subject that was preoccupying Shaw himself at the time.